which things you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. What a blessing those words should be to each and every one of us. You know, courage. There were some people that had a lot of courage. Can you imagine Abraham and when God looked at Abraham, he said, look, he said, you go to a land that I've promised you. And what did the Bible say? It said Abraham went not knowing where he was going. Now, we don't do that kind of stuff today, do we? Very seldom will we ever get in our car and head down the road unless that GPS is right. Matter of fact, we look at our phone and say, well, that don't correspond with what's in the car, and we double check everything. But I'm telling you, those people, when God looked at Abraham, he said what? He said, you go, and the Bible said he went. And then you get to somebody like Noah, who built an ark being made fun of probably every day. You talking about being made fun of as a Christian? Is that really persecution? You know, the Bible says that Noah did exactly what God told him to do. You know, but there were some people that didn't have the courage. You know, look at Aaron. What did Aaron do? Don't you imagine? Here Aaron was the spokesperson for Moses when they stood before Pharaoh. Don't you know he knew all of those things that had taken place during that in Egypt when they were standing before Pharaoh? And then when he gets out of that bondage, he gets out there and what happens? He didn't have the courage to stand, did he? He just kind of withered away. And that is so sad. And then you get to Pilate, who had an opportunity to release Jesus Christ. He had no courage. He said, look, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. He washed his hands. But notice this right here. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is to stay the course in spite of our fears. Never forget that. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is to stay the course despite of our fears. You know, in Acts, let's stay in Acts. So we go back to Acts chapter 3, and we find here Peter and John. And what had they done? We won't read all of this, but in Acts chapter 3, the Bible says that they had healed the lame man. Okay? That was a great miracle right after the establishment of the Lord's church there in Acts chapter 2. So we get to Acts chapter 4. What great reading these words are. Listen to this. And now when they, verse 13, and now when they saw the boldness, courage. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And then the Bible goes on to read there in verse 14 through 16 for time. The Jews said, look, we can't deny the fact that that Peter and John had healed this lame man. But guess what they did there in verse 17? These same Jews. But that they spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in the name of Jesus Christ. They threatened them again. You get on to verse number 20. What did Peter and John say? Man, these need to be our words today as the Lord's church. Verse number 20. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. My mother's here today, and I'm thankful for that. I remember coming home from that first trip in 91. And my mother and father were there, and it was pretty tough. D-Mar got pretty sick. I was sick and didn't really know it. Had some sugar issues going. And I looked at my family and I said, I've seen Jesus Christ. They thought I lost my mind. My mother's kind of shaking her head back there. But I'm telling you something. We cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. What happened to these men? Go on to verse 29 through 30. And now the Lord, behold their threatenings. This is Peter and John talking. And grant unto us thy servants that we with all boldness, courage, with all boldness may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with all boldness. Did they quit? No, sir. They kept going no matter what. Then we go to the great apostle Paul, and we won't take time to read these passages, but you know, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul obeyed the gospel, became a Christian, you know, a lot of people were scared of him. Can't you imagine? This guy had lived a pretty rough life. There's some of us maybe here today that's lived a pretty rough life, and we say, people ain't going to believe it if we become a Christian. There probably was no rougher person than Paul before he obeyed the gospel. He made havoc of the church. He was putting them in prison. He was trying his best to stamp out Christianity. When he obeyed the gospel, what happened in Acts chapter 9? The Bible says that he boldly spake the word of God. It was so, the first century Christians were so nervous, Barnabas had to vouch for him. I won't forget, I showed that picture of Leonid, and the elder there in Sikhtivkar, when we were in a little place called Greva a couple years ago, when the sanctions started, when the U.S. put sanctions on Russia, and I walked in this little culture center, the community center, I wasn't sure if it was good for me to be there. That was the same building that little lady ran that Russian man out the back door, said, "You American, go home." She just run him out the back door. And that's exactly while it was taking place right here, probably with Barnabas and Saul, the Apostle Paul, after his conversion. He said, "Hey, this guy's a brother now, let's go." There's some probably today that needs to make that same decision. "Hey, he's our brother, let's go." You know, Paul in Acts chapter 14, the Bible says he boldly spoke the word of God in Iconium. Acts chapter 19, he boldly spoke the word of God in Ephesus. Acts chapter 17, the Bible says that the Jews were very upset because they said they have turned the world upside down. October 91, D-Mar, you remember standing in that president's office in that Sikhtivkar State University? There was a professor of atheism had been obeyed the gospel, was considering it. The ladies that were in translating for us, the head and assistant head of the English department in that state university was considering obeying the gospel. Some of the other professors in that state university were obeying the gospel. This president said, "I need to speak to you two men." Man. We walked into that man's office and he looked at us and he said, "We have a problem." "What a problem?" He said, "You all have converted many of our faculty here. Matter of fact, at that point in time, you converted the man who was teaching atheism in our state university. We don't know what we're going to do with this man now that he's a Christian." You remember that? Have turned the world upside down. I'm telling you, if there ever was a time the Lord's church needs to get back on fire, is now. If it's in Tanner, Alabama, Hatton, Alabama, wherever it is, we better be sharing the gospel with as many people as we can. You know, I want us to hurry because I know our time's getting away. But in Acts chapter 20, what a great rendering of the great apostle Paul. But you know, in Acts chapter 20, we won't take time to read all this. But in Acts 20, what do we find here? We find here Paul was meeting with the Ephesian elders. And I'll read just a few verses here. Starting with verse 19, Acts 20. "Serving the Lord with all humility in mind, with many tears." Yeah, he had some fear, didn't he? Paul had some fear in his life. You go to Corinthians, he talks about some of those fears and tremblings he had. But listen to this. "And temptations which fell upon me and those of weight of the Jews." But notice verse 20. You remember what he did in Acts chapter 8? House to house, he went about trying to stamp out Christianity. Here's a man that repented. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And how he kept back nothing that was profitable unto me, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." That's repentance. That's a man that repented and got on fire for the Lord. He goes on in verse number 24. He said, none of these things move me. In other words, hey, they won't destroy my life, so what? For me to live is Christ and die is gain. Well, that was the attitude the great apostle Paul had. He said, I don't count my life dear to me at all. Notice the latter part of that verse. He says, which I received of the Lord to testify the gospel of grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, verse 20 and 26, we need to bring them home. And now behold, I know thy will among who I gone preaching the kingdom of God, that I may see your face no more. Where therefore I take record that I am pure from the blood of all men. Can we say that? Pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare. I have not shunned. I'm reading old King James here. And I'm stumbling through it. Y'all forgive me. But I'm telling you. You know what he's saying here? He said, I didn't hesitate to tell you the whole counsel of God. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to get back on fire for the Lord. It's time for us to have courage. Like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, that I may with open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Apostle Paul said these words, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Don't be ashamed and not have courage to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, we talk, you know, we won't read this, but many of us know that passage talking about having blood on your hands. You know, Paul said in Acts 20 here, said, I'm going to stand before God not having blood on my hands. I'm telling you as Christians, one day we're going to stand before God, and we better, he's going to look at our hands and say, I see a little blood. We better make sure that don't happen to us. You know, and I guess as we close this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, the great apostle Paul, you know, in verse 10 there, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of the things we've done, whether good or bad. Verse 11, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want to close with just a couple, three pictures here of something to think about. Some of y'all, I showed this. Showed a little bit of this in the Bible study period. Here's a man named Arcadi living near the Arctic Circle in a place called Greba. I truly believe in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, this is probably in modern time one of the uttermost parts on the face of the earth. This man right here, y'all notice this is a frozen river, made the decision to obey Jesus Christ. Not only did this man make the decision to do it, he said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll go out and bust the ice, get the water out of the river, so I can do this right here. This water's pretty warm, isn't it, brother? There may be people even here today that can say like this man on the last trip when I was there in April, he looked at me and he said, on the behalf of the Greva Church of Christ, my. A Christian, because he had courage to obey what Jesus Christ said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There may be some here today that needs to have the courage to come forward, make the good confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be willing to be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, so that your sins might be forgiven. You symbolically contact the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself will add you to his church, which is the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. The name of that church is Romans 16:16, the Church of Christ. And you'll be a saved individual, and you'll have the courage to go forward to share the gospel with your friends and family. There may be some here today that might just need the prayers of this good congregation. If we can help you in any way at this time, I'll let your request be known.